Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everyone, it's Dario from AfterBuzz TV. Buying a car can be a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Yes, TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. You know, last month over 45,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar.com users save an average of $3,046 off of MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people pay for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. I know I had one. Some features are not available in all states. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. You know, they save time, they save money, and you never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Power After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip.
And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Power After Show.
Big Rich Town.
That was all off key. Simon Cowell ripped me a new one. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, After Buzzers, and welcome to the first season, second episode of Starz original series Power, starring Amari Hardwick, Naturi Naughton, executive produced by 50 Cent himself. That's on the soundtrack, the opening song you can hear there. He dropped a little sexy, silky one. I'm not sure, you know, me and Bam have some mixed feelings about the song, the track, but it's a dope song either way, whether it's for the intro of this show or not. It's a dope song. I'm feeling the track.
Yeah, it represents him. Yeah, nice beat.
Pretty much. So, jumping into this episode. Oh, I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, by the way, and joining me today is...
I'm Bam Erickson.
Bam Erickson and Thaddeus Massey in the house for Power. So, St. Patrick, James Jamie, a.k.a. Ghost, St. Patrick has got his work cut out for him right now. Mm-hmm. He's dealing with a little bit of a crossroads right now because there's so much going on with this conflict that's happening in the street with his workers getting hit and they're getting preyed on. So last week we saw that one of the workers, the girl is unnamed. You know, she was one of the dealers that work in their organization. She got attacked in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And her face got cut.
Poor thing.
Poor thing. Poor little thing. Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, at least she shot one of the guys. Or she shot one of them. She was cognizant enough, I guess, she figured, you know, obviously the guy would be a bigger threat than the girl. And she shot him, but, she followed protocol. Everything is, you know, she did everything she's supposed to. And Tommy is like, you know, Tommy, this dude, Tommy is like no joke.
He's very cutthroat.
Yeah, he's very cutthroat. And, you know, even though Ghost's name runs rampant in the streets, apparently, based on what Lobo said last week, and he has a very feared name, it almost seems like maybe Tommy was the hammer that Ghost used to get his name to the point where it's feared in the street right now. Because Tommy is just, like, relentless. He's unforgiving. And, you know, it's like, well, she did everything that she was supposed to. But he's actually given some logic behind why they should ice her.
Well, you know, who's this?
And it makes sense.
Well, who's to say that that Ghost character wasn't that way until he started to transition between wanting to do the club and really want to go straight?
Well, you saw him plug Miguel last week.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a big issue. But I think, you know, Tasha having a woman there. And then, you know, what's funny is when you have people in power and you have these, you know, these men in power or whatever, and you can see how the balance of having that other person, that voice of reason. Look, he went to dinner with Tasha and she mentioned, like, look, what a woman needs is security. It's so interesting. You've never really been able to see. I've never really can. I'm just trying to think right now, or I'm thinking right now of different characters and roles of of people that play like mob bosses or whatever, or drug lords. And it always seems like the wife or the significant other was insulated away from the actual details of the business. And this is, that's a very interesting dynamic that they brought to this, to the show here. Cause she's actually, I mean, she knows the code word. She's burning evidence at the incinerator. Like, Tasha is part of the organization, so to speak.
I mean, totally. When we go back to episode one, when she asked, when Patrick or Ghost asked,
yeah,
when Ghost asked, you know, what is it, your kind of thoughts? And she said, you know, I thought you were going to be the biggest drug dealer in the world. And so obviously they've been together for a very long time.
Right.
And, you know, not only does she know his operation, she also knows his motives for the other things like the laundromat and for truth. And she knows it, but now she feels a certain kind of way. And I don't know if it has anything to do with it, with Angie coming into the picture or her feeling this lonely.
Well, here's the thing. He's second guessing everything right now because he doesn't want to be a career drug dealer. This is always a means to an end for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the laundromats, the, in a sense, I always believe in the back of his mind, he always wanted an out. There was always an exit plan or an exit strategy or exit plan, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah. And
Tommy probably thinks he's going to live and die that life.
And I think Tasha is 50-50. She's aware. She's aware of the other side that he wants,
right?
But she's also looking at the picture of the whole money thing. Like, let's talk about the whole mom daughter conversation, because I thought that was good, and then
we're talking about Tasha and her mother, and we're talking about who is excellently being portrayed by Debbie Morgan, the legendary Debbie Morgan herself. She is playing this character. She's playing this role, the mother-in-law, who actually is aware of all the goings-on just as much as Tasha is. And you're like, wow. She's really...
Not only does she know that, I mean, it's like when they have the banter, the mom, she tries to give her opinion on certain things. And the banter between them is very interesting because Tasha's saying that the mom should be more respectful in her house. And she's like, you know,
right?
You ain't paid for this house. James paid for this house.
He's paying the rent. You're not paying the rent. Right, exactly. It's like if you guys break up, then the government doesn't know what alimony you're going to get. Most of his money is not being recorded, obviously. So they wouldn't get, if she wouldn't get any real money out of him, where, you know.
And I thought that was a great point. And the mom is concerned about the whole, her, with Ghost at the club all the time and finding a new piece of ass.
Well, yeah, definitely. There was definitely something that was displayed when he saw Angela, and she saw that. And that's obviously something that she knows him. That's her husband. Mm-hmm. So she knows how his body language or whatever. She saw something. So now that's casting a shadow of doubt in her, because he's not spending all the time, I guess, in the world with her either. Mm-hmm. So now that there's that seed of doubt, and he's still just going about his day handling business, but she's not with him, she doesn't know. Mm-hmm. So now that, you know, they're switching phones like they normally do because they have these burners and you can't be tracked, and he forgets to give her the number, or he just doesn't give her the number. He didn't do it intentionally. He just was going about his day. Mm-hmm. But in her mind, it's like something's off. And it's his energy. His energy is off because he's not in the same – his energy isn't the same as it was before, like the same routine. He's so, trying to break – he's slowly trying to transition mm-hmm. his energy to another life.
Do you think the mom – do you think she has a valid point? Or do you think she's putting things in Tasha's head, and the fact that Tasha had already seen ghosts with the girl now just kind of makes her feel a certain way?
No, it's just the mom is more experienced. Mm-hmm. The mom is older. The mom's been around the block, obviously, a couple times, and she knows what time it is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Tasha wants to make herself feel better by saying, oh, with all this ass, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is there's always some other ass. Mm-hmm. And I think Tasha knows that, but she needs somebody to smack her upside the face and tell her that. You know, and that in this case happens to be her mom, mm-hmm. which would tell her, like, there's always more ass. I used to have an ass just like yours. She mm-hmm. got it from her mama. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, obviously, you know, that's going to be like a reality check for her mm-hmm. that she needs to be on point with dealing with him because she already feels something. And then the mom is calling it out. She sees there's differences.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember, she doesn't do anything. She probably just sits at the house babysit and be fabulous. Yeah, so she sees it's easier to feel the energy change when all you do is sit back and just watch everybody, which is what she does.
What did you think about, and so when I don't know if to call them James, Jamie, Patrick, Ghost.
St. Patrick.
So
Ghost.
So when Ghost was coming into the kitchen, Tasha and the driver Sean was mm-hmm. having this conversation. Now Sean,
which
now,
is super reckless, but yeah, anyway. Yeah.
So now Sean, you know, comes in as he always does, so that he can go and take Ghost to work.
Mm-hmm.
So now he gets beside himself and he's like, "Hey, you know, I know that you wanted me to see you." He's basically saying, "What's up?"
Right.
And so she plays on it for a little bit. And then when she hears footsteps, she was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And then.
Yeah, because.
Now it sets up for.
It's real stupid what they're doing because obviously she's not into him. Mm-hmm. She's into her husband. But because she's insecure about their current circumstances or situation, because she's in the dark about a few things that's mm-hmm. going on with her husband, or she's not getting the clues about what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. She feels like he's not expressing anything to her.
Mm-hmm.
So now that this seed of doubt has been planted with, you know, the whole Angela thing, obviously, you know, and actually that there hasn't even been anything yet with her being even knowing anything about Angela. He just saw him talking to her from across the club floor. So
right.
She's playing with fire in that situation. Every time I see them talking, I'm like, man, what are you trying to get this boy killed?
Because then
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then after that, she calls him to find out his whereabouts because the whole phone thing and his phone got changed. So she's looking for him. And now when he's saying that, you know, don't worry, he's in eyesight. He's over with Angela at the hot dog stand in Central Park.
Right.
And then he's trying to. So you see, I like where it's going, because although Tasha is feeling insecure, her instinct is telling her right.
Her instinct is telling her right because she's from the street.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her mama.
Yeah. And then Tasha goes to the club. She decides that she doesn't want to go to the club anymore. She walks over to the car. And so now she wants Sean to drive her home. And so now she's really playing with him. And Sean is really starting to take what she's doing in her actions. He's really starting to become sloppy.
Right.
And so I'm just curious to see how that's going to turn out. But
well, I don't know if he's becoming sloppy yet. He is getting a little reckless because at the party, okay, he wants to become legitimate, obviously. Mm-hmm. He books his huge Vogue party, right, which obviously is a huge milestone, and you know, to even get to that point, and mm-hmm. he's reached it so quickly, and the person who books the party or was handling the event planning,
Miss Sheridan,
she did a background check on Ghost, and she couldn't find anything. Which people on those levels of corporations, on that level of establishments, they have ties to get information on people.
Yeah.
Besides just looking them up on Google, and she couldn't find anything. So you have to actually be like Angela, who would look somebody up and get information on Ghost. Which I'm curious to see what his background is more. I'm still, I don't know what is. I know what the hesitation is with Tommy, with him not taking pictures and whatnot. They had a successful night at the party. She wants to give him the GQ party, the Elle Magazine party. She wants to give him her whole slate for him to, take advantage of.
And then you also
exposure.
And then you also have the guy. I forget his name. The guy who does the receipts. He's also saying,
well, hey, he's the manager.
The manager.
Yeah.
He's also saying, hey, now that they're coming, you need to get your name out. You need to be the face of this. So he has two people pulling on him on one side, saying, hey, you need to, put yourself out there. While
right.
Tommy's the one that's saying, no, this is not what our purpose is. So he's obviously conflicted. And I think that if he does choose to start having himself photographed, that's where the issue is going to be. That's where people are going to start, digging him up and getting information.
Well, I mean, if he's taking pictures and he has somewhat of a face, do you think this was like kind of his thing to legitimize himself?
Yeah.
Like, because if he starts taking pictures and he's known as a savvy club, entrepreneur, club businessman, club owner, whatever, then don't you think that that would somewhat legitimize him if they can control how the information or the investigation on how he got his money? I mean, at the same time, it's really not hard. With the kind of money that they're making,
mm-hmm.
he obviously doesn't need that much money.
But I think
open a club,
but
based on what they're making.
But I think it's more so the streets. It's the streets will be the problem of him having his face out there. The streets is what I believe will start talking. Yeah, the streets will start talking, and that's what will get him caught up. And speaking of the streets and what people are talking, let's talk about Maria Menounos' new book. Is called Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. It talks about where am I? Which one?
Straight ahead.
Okay, so and so Maria,
like, it's his first time doing this.
What? Because it's two of us, so I wasn't really sure what camera was at.
Yeah,
but
go
anyway,
ahead, straight ahead.
So Maria has this new book out. You guys can catch it on Amazon.com or any bookstores, Barnes & Nobles.
If it's not great, sold out.
Yes. It's a great book. She talks about how to stay, fit and healthy. If you don't know Maria's background, she was a size 14, as you can see in this picture here. Now she's a size 2. So it's a great book. Make sure you guys go cop it somewhere online, Amazon, or any bookstore such as Barnes & Noble and Target. So Maria Menounos, The Everyday Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. Check it out.
And actually has some tips in there that guys can use also. So I don't know if the guys want to go pick up every girl's, but you get it. What you do is you get it for your girl, and then you just kind of sneak in there and you look at some of the tips. That's how you get away with that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Maria has, if you haven't seen her, she was on WWE. She can definitely.
Yeah, she's got abs of steel, this girl.
Yeah, totally.
Maria Menounos, Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. Go get it today already. Get it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so back to Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tommy is being, I don't know, do you think Tommy's being overly cautious?
No, I think he has every right to be overly cautious. People in the streets.
So he's not being overly cautious. So that's what I'm saying. Do you think he's being overly cautious, or do you think he's being on point?
Oh, no, he's on point. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay, yeah. Because people in the streets will talk. But there's been drug lords that have had clubs and stuff like that before, and they were known to be the owner.
Understandable, but when What's happened is you have two people who are growing apart. And when two people grow apart, there's that one person that always tries to stick to the plan. When you think about, for some reason, their presidents come to mind. Remember their presidents when they robbed the bank and they said that they were going to, you know, be a certain way. They weren't going to spend. They weren't going to do anything.
Yes.
And the Bokeem Woodbine was the fool that decided to do all the things. If you look at Set It Off, how after they robbed the first bank, they were supposed to do what they were supposed to do. And Queen Latifah started flossing. So
what other movie was that as well? That was a movie with Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
And they did some job, and the guy who did the job, one of the guys took his cut and went and bought a brand new Cadillac, and they were like, yo, we told you to lay low for her, blah, 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 blah. And they offed him.
And Ghost is kind of doing the same thing that they're doing in the movies, where he sees a little bit of, he's getting a little power, he's getting a little shine, and now it's kind of going to his head. So Tommy's this person that's trying to reel him back in to the plan, stick to the plan.
I don't think it's going to his head. I think... Excuse me. I just think he wants to start transitioning out. And when you clearly see where you want to be and it's right there, mm-hmm. you might prematurely jump to it as opposed to just letting this take its natural course. Because when he's in the life, he's so absorbed in this life. I mean, that's what's made him. That's what's created him. It's not an easy jump to jump from that lifestyle into another lifestyle. I mean, I think they're chopping these bodies up under the club.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they? Aren't they like under the club and underground and some?
But
because remember last week when he went to go deal with Miguel, went down the elevator underground in the basement or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's handling business still. He's bringing it right there to the club.
Do you think that between Angela now in his life and him wishing that he can have her, there's Tasha, and now he has the manager, he has Mrs. Sheridan, he has a lot of people in his head now, and so his mind, his thinking is not thorough as it was before. So it could be all of those things that are maybe clouding his judgment. Do you think?
With Angela? Well, I think, well, based on what Tommy said, you know, when she left for law school or she left for school or whatever, mm-hmm. how messed up he was over that. And obviously, he was in love with this girl, and she, you know, moved on so she can create a better life for herself and her family. And now she's back, and she's older, more mature, more sophisticated. She's a career woman. She's educated, and he's obviously feeling some loss. Like, you know, this is what I should have been with. I should have had. This is what I should be with. This is who I should be with. This is who I'm supposed to end up with. You know, the place where I want to go, obviously, Tasha is not really growing with him. She's all about the shoes and the bags and him being the big drug lord, the kingpin,
mm-hmm.
and club owner. It's cool. We have a club. It's just like really, it's like street dreams,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. You know, it's not real. It's like she's living in a fantasy world. They're doing real things, you know, there's real criminal activity going on, but it's a fantasy, it's a facade because it's short lived. It never, you know, I have never heard of a drug empire being passed from one generation to the next. Like, I mean, it's happened, yes, but like as a family business, like generations down the line, I was like, yes, me and my family, we've been selling crack cocaine on the street, or mm-hmm. we've been selling heroin or coke on the street since 1835. You know, it's a means to an end.
Totally.
It's not, you know, you're not going to be the heir to the fortune of whatever at trust fund and then give all the credit to the fact that, you know, your dad or your grandfather was this big, large, you know, drug kingpin, and you're picking up right where,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're, you know, going into the family business. It's not like, you know, having a traditional family empire,
mm-hmm.
you know, so to speak. So Tasha, I think, is on that. I think Tasha is just living kind of in the moment.
Yeah.
And she's not making plans for the future like how she should.
Mm-hmm.
She's just thinking about what's right now. And he's planning for, he has a family.
Mm-hmm.
He has three kids. And he has to plan for that. and he doesn't want to be in this life forever. What happens when his son is already, what, like 10, 11, 12 years old?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next, what, 5, 6, 7 years, he's like 16, 17, 18.
Now, yeah, he's going to be a teenager, and he's not going to want his son to go into the same
business. Of course not.
Okay, so what do you think about the whole Angie storyline with her and the legal team? I like where this is going.
It's cool. The whole legal team scenario is cool with Angela. This guy, Greg, is kind of putsy. He's cool, but they're kind of playing his character to the left a little bit. I think he's, you know, she has a relationship. I'm saying, you know, I shouldn't say that. But he has a relationship with her. She's established a relationship. And she's obviously just with him for information. Or it's a relationship of convenience. Mm-hmm. You know, they're together because it's convenient.
Do you think it's a convenience, or do you?
Oh, totally. It's totally a relationship because she's not into him. And she said that when she was talking to, who was that she was doing her hair with?
That was her sister.
Her sister. Okay, she expressed it. She said, I don't get those tinglies, or she doesn't get those feelings. She's mm-hmm. not in love with him. She doesn't love him. She's not in love with him. It's just that they're both in the same industry. And it's just a relationship of convenience, almost like Tasha and Ghost. And what's so funny is when they showed them both hanging out, you know, he brought Chinese takeout. Mm-hmm. Greg brought Chinese takeout to Angela's. They hung out. Mm-hmm. They discussed the case. She was pissed at him before. Mm-hmm. Now she's over it because he's giving her information. So now she's going to have sex with him because he's giving her information.
And then when that was happening simultaneously, then you had Tasha and Ghost having sex. And
they were having dinner at first. Yeah. They were sharing information, and she was giving him advice on how to handle a particular situation. Mm-hmm. Right? Now he's turned on because that's where they meet.
Yeah.
Like that, you can see in that scene with them, that's what turned him on about her. The fact that she was savvy enough to know how to handle a situation in the street mm-hmm. based on what was going on, because he was kind of stuck. Like, yeah. How do I handle this? And she says, well, remember this? You should do it like that. And then he's like, oh my goodness. And he does it.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Greg and Angela. She gets the information. Now she's turned on, and it kind of reminds her of why she started dating him. But at the end of the day, even how they had sex was impersonal.
Yeah, it was very impersonal. It was very, it was as if they were thinking. It was as if Ghost was having sex with Angela. Tasha.
With Angela, it was as if he was having sex with Angela.
Yeah, same thing with Angela
and Greg.
And Greg,
it was like she was getting it from Ghost. Yeah, so it was really impersonal, and it was like they want to feel that stimulus mm-hmm. from the other person,
yeah,
not from this person, because this person represents a side of them that they don't really need. They already possess that.
Mm-hmm. But I do think that Ghost and Tasha's relationship, I do feel that he was in love with her at some point, but I think he's growing apart from her just based off of the life and where he's trying to go in the future.
Most definitely. He's growing. Mm-hmm. And he's growing as a person in a way that's just more mature and more sophisticated. And, you know, if you have a girl, I mean, obviously Tasha is sexy. She's cute. She has a tight little body. She's street savvy, and she's loyal and has her man's back. And she's about him. That in itself is sexy and will turn a guy on. It's like, yo, I got a winner right here. But that doesn't mean she's the kind of person that is going to mature into the kind of person that you want to mature into. That doesn't mean you have the same vision for the future. That mm-hmm. doesn't mean that, okay, well, beyond this, I'm more than just this. If that person can't grow out of this one circle, this one bubble, then that kind of limits me if I'm going to stay in this space. If she doesn't grow with me, then I'm leaving her.
Yeah.
And that's where he's at right now, because he asked her, what did you think I was going to be? And she said, the biggest drug dealer in all of New York. And it's like, you know, a woman that really has a vision for her man, you know, she would have said anything that you want to be. I think that you can do anything that you want to do.
Mm. Good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
So I think, you know, there's aspects of her that definitely turns him on, because that's why they're together. They have 3 kids. They're married. At the same time, there's other things about her that turn him off, that he can't even have the kind of conversations with her like he has with Angela. They just don't relate.
Yeah.
She'll never get it. Anyway, so that's going to be a train wreck when that whole, you know, when the crap hits the fan with that situation. I don't know if Angela and Tasha are ever going to meet, see each other. But for some reason, I don't see her as the confrontational type. Mm-hmm. I see her as the get even type.
Totally.
especially how she's handling the situation with Sean, stripping for him in the back seat and doing all this. She's like, okay, I get over it. I'm going to get my ducks in a row and then have my stuff together. So if things don't go my way, then I still have whatever. Like the kind of girl who put the money to the side, yeah. have a guy already posted up or whatever, not even deal with the chick. I see her kind of like that. Which is very impressive because a lot of runaway girls would be like, I'm going to beat this girl up.
And not only that, but remember in episode one when she went to grab the shirt with the blood on it?
Yeah.
She took a wad of money with her and she left. So who's to say that she's not taking money to the side and she's saving for herself?
She might be.
Yeah.
I mean,
I totally think she probably would be. Yeah, I think she's doing it.
I mean, if she's constantly shopping anyway, yeah. she probably spends a lot of money.
Yeah.
She just seems like that type. I mean, her friend is in there taking her shoes. She's got all these expensive bags. I mean, they make a lot of money. They have a nice house. Mm-hmm. They have a driver. They own a nightclub. They started from the bottom. Now they're there.
Yep.
So they're not doing too shabby. Tommy is going to oppose a huge problem for Ghost because Tommy is the one that's keeping Ghost head on straight for the real business that they have. And it's so interesting when Angela tried to call Ghost. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he has these burner phones, so he had to get rid of the phone, which I think is also reckless that he's got the phones in his house because if anything happens, they want to come search, blah, 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 blah. They could put that stuff together and figure that out.
Yeah.
I would have thrown that away somewhere else. Him leaving the shirt in the house is reckless, too, even though it was in a safe. I don't know. I think, you know, he got rid of it, but at the end of the day, I think those are little things that are somewhat reckless. Anyway, but it still adds to a good storyline. So Angela calls him. His phone, he doesn't answer this phone. She goes to the club to track him down, which now she's actually showing some initiative of seeing what's going on with this situation.
Which is turning him on even more.
Right. And what's funny is they're so enthralled with each other because of their history. They haven't asked each other, are you seeing anybody else? Not married, no kids, you know, no boyfriend, nothing. They're so engaged in each other, mm-hmm. it's like nothing else matters. Mm-hmm. So they don't even bother bringing up anything else, which is very, very realistic when you have that kind of relationship that goes
You're
back
right.
so far.
They either reminisce.
They're constantly reminiscing. Yeah,
they're constantly, I was going to say, either they're reminiscing or they spoke a little bit about the job in the sense of whenever she has to go, it pertains to work or something, but mm-hmm. It's always almost like they're in a work environment, but they never talk about work. They reminisce. I thought the cool scene was when he takes her to the DJ booth.
Right.
Takes her to the DJ booth, and she's like, "Oh my God, they still have turntables."
Right.
Yeah, some people still do turntables. But I liked how the dialogue that they were having as Mary J. Blige's Real Love was playing. When they were having conversation, there were certain things that they would say to each other, mm-hmm. and then they would pause and they would say anything, and then they would go into the chorus of Real Love. I'm looking for a real love,
right.
someone to set my heart free, real love. Yeah.
Right, right, right. You know, it's also interesting about that conversation that they had is because when she mentioned, when he mentioned Tommy mm-hmm. and how he still hangs out with Tommy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was like a big indicator to her, like, wow, you still hang out with him? Like interesting.
Because it sounds like she couldn't stand him back in the day.
It was probably one of those situations where, you know, you're dating somebody and their best friend you can't stand, and there's always that, like, tension, that conflict.
And that's probably why she never came back or why she didn't call, because
maybe that was part of it. Yeah. Because she saw us like, oh my gosh, he hangs out with this guy and he's not showing me any growth or maturity by hanging out with this guy, kind of thing. And what's really funny is he's gotten everything he's gotten because of his partnership with Tommy and the mm-hmm. things that they've accomplished in the street.
And she has no clue.
She has no idea. And I'm going to be very – I can't wait to see how she reacts or responds when she finds out, one, he's married. Two, he has three kids. Three, he hangs out with Tommy. I mean, him and Tommy work together mm-hmm. before she even actually finds out that he actually is a drug dealer. Of course, that's going to probably be the biggest blow when she finds out.
Well, obviously, she's going to find out. And I think when she finds out, she's going to be torn because when she finds out that...
When she finds out he's going to have hit it already. And then she's really going to be torn.
Exactly. Once she finds out that he's the New York...
No pun intended.
Once she finds out he's a New York distributor, you know, they're going to already be into this whole little sexual affair.
Right. So I think I made a prediction last week that she was going to find out this week or next week. And then the arc was going to be how she dodges and kind of manipulates the situation because he's trying to find a way out. Go ahead.
You want to just do the quick news and then just go into gossip? I mean, do the gossip and then we could just go into the predictions?
Sure.
AfterBuzz TV News.
News and gossip. Go ahead, Bam.
So
I'll go ahead and do it.
Thank you.
So news and gossip. We've got some news here. Omari Hardwick is on the cover, gracing the cover of Jet Magazine for the June 2014 issue. Go pick up a copy. The article is interesting. There are some nice pics in there for the ladies and some good information in there for the fellas. Omar is a good guy. And he's doing his thing. I'm, you know, just really impressed with where his career started and where he is now. So,
I read it on the way here. And there were some interesting facts about that. Was when he was, after he left New York and he came to LA, he was a part of this this pilot for Spike Lee called Sucker Free City, which I was in that too. And then soon after, He became a substitute teacher at some elite school.
Yes.
It just so happens that Denzel and his wife Pauletta kids went there, and so that he coached their kids.
Right.
And so they got a relationship together. And even when he was struggling and as a struggling actor having to stay at friends' house, he actually crashed at Denzel and Pauletta's crib for a while. And let me just say this. Denzel Washington lives in Beverly Park, which is on the top of Mulholland. It's a very exclusive neighborhood because I work there. Can you imagine that he got to actually crash at Denzel and Pauletta's crib?
Sleep on his couch.
Those houses are like minimum like $20 million homes, and they're like, they're these huge castles.
Right. So that is a great story.
Damn.
Actually, I went to that school.
Oh.
But years before. So it's a very nice school. I only went there for like a year.
Yeah.
And then I transferred to go play ball somewhere else. Anyway. So, yes. Predictions. Yeah, go pick up this copy of Jet Magazine. I'm Omari Hardwick.
Now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
So, prediction. I'm predicting next episode that Angela is... I don't know. I'll have to push it back another week. Okay, I'm going to stick to my prediction. I said this week or next week. Mm-hmm. So obviously it didn't happen this week. And now the way they're setting it up, after I see I don't think it's going to happen next week. I don't think she's going to find out next week. She has to find out something about him, though. There will be a reveal, some kind of reveal about him to her next week.
He's going to
sleep with her next week, for
sure. I don't think that anything's going to be revealed, because he needs to sleep with her first.
That's the hook. Okay.
And then he will find out about the marriage and the kids, and that he found out about Tommy. And then after, because there's only 8 episodes, so literally you have to split it up into 2.5 episodes each. So by the third one, now the sleeping has to happen. Then you have episodes 4, 5, and 6 is where we go to the middle part. And then toward the end is where she's going to have to find out that he is a New York distributor, and then have to figure out how she's going to go about to handle this within this whole season. What I think is going to be interesting is they touched on Sean's character and his dad.
Yes, and maybe we'll find something out about. I don't think we're going to find out about that or anything about that until maybe the last second half of the season.
Well, but remember, he goes and visits his dad, who's played by 50 Cent, the executive producer of Power.
So they did get a foreshadowing of that for next episode, right?
Yeah, so that's for episode 3. So now I'm thinking that
So we got to find out I'm thinking 50.
I'm thinking that 50's character.
Kanan, his name is Kanan or something like that.
I'm thinking that he has something to do with Ghost and Tommy. And now he's
getting
looking,
to where they're...
he's looking out for him. But the only problem is going to be that now Sean is now sleeping or going to try and sleep with Tasha.
Stupid.
Which is going to cause problems. So it's a lot. It's great.
Well, they'll be able to keep it under wraps for a while.
Yeah.
You never know. They might do a twist where he's like, yeah, go ahead and be with her. I wouldn't want her to be with anybody with you. And that would free me up so I can go be with Angela.
Oh, and then also...
because he takes care of the kids anyway.
Oh, and then also, Power was already picked up for season two after one episode.
Yeah,
and
that's news.
And it had...
10 episodes.
It premiered with either 2.5 or 3.5 million viewers. So it's already related. It's already new for season two. So, yeah.
Good job, guys.
Well, we want to thank you guys for watching.
Where can we find you till next time, Bam?
You guys can find me on all social media at Bam Erickson.
And you can find me on at Club Thaddeus at Twitter, Instagram, GQJedi.com. You can find me here for Orange is the New Black as well on Thursdays and Sundays. Until next time, After Buzzers, peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.